Thank you so much, gentlemen. We do have a chance to reach the world, but we're told that we must work while it is yet day. The night cometh when no man can work. And let us as a church be serious about our responsibility, not just our community, but to the entire world. Well, we have with us as our speaker and have enjoyed the last couple nights, Dr. Raymond Barber. He was the longtime pastor for many decades of the Worth Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas. He is the author of over 16 books, the 16th of which has just come off the presses. And I know you would enjoy to know more about that. You can speak to him about that if you would like to after the service. But Dr. Barber is a man who has served the Lord faithfully through decades, and now he and his wife are in an itinerant ministry where they encourage the churches. It has been our privilege to have him. Dr. Barber, you come and preach for us.
O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with honor and glory. Thou hast made him have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They're as asleep. In the morning, they're like the grass which groweth up. In the morning, it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening, it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. All our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made his ways known to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. For he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me who I am. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me where I'm bound. Thank God for the Bible. It makes the way so plain. Thank God for the Bible. It exalts the Savior's name. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. Well, the music has certainly blessed our hearts today, hasn't it? As J. Frank Norris used to say, none of this Johnny get a cat gun bigger than a rat gun, sis bob boom. But music that glorifies Christ. And I'm glad we have that in this church today. Thank God for the missionaries, the outreach, Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. It's time to open the... Oh, by the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 3. I would remind you that it's only 20 minutes till 11 in Texas. But not to worry, I learned a long time ago a sermon does not have to be eternal to be immortal. So just sit back and relax for a few moments. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you're finding your place. I would remind you again that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And for us, it's settled right here in this book. I'm going to read from the book, the blessed old book, the powerful Word of God, from 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verses 6 through 9. And I shall read after we pray. Would you join with me, please, as we pray together? Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the opportunity of opening the Bible. I pray that we may be focused on Jesus Christ. I pray that we may understand that we have an obligation, a responsibility, but more than that, an opportunity to sow the seed around the world. And I pray as laborers together with Christ and with Thee, that we might do just that through these missionaries. Every person in this room who is saved is a missionary. And I pray we all might understand that we've been challenged and charged, commanded, mandated to take the gospel around the world. May it be so is our prayer. In Jesus' name, for His sake, with thanksgiving we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. First part of that verse says we. That's us, folks. We are laborers together with God. In Matthew chapter 9, verse number 37, our Lord Jesus Christ presented a problem, a very serious problem. Here's what He said. Then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I've got the solution to that problem. Are you ready for this? Choose you a committee of 7 people. Let them elect a chairman. Let him choose 7 more in a committee and elect a chairman and elect another committee. No. We're committed to death now in our churches. You understand what I'm saying? Someone said if the children of Israel had depended upon a committee to come out of Egypt, they'd still be there. Here's the solution to the problem. The man who gave the problem solves the problem. He said in verse 38, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send for laborers into His harvest." Perhaps we've forgotten whose harvest it is. It's His harvest. Pray ye therefore. By the way, when's the last time you prayed and asked God to send a missionary? Be careful, He may send you. Wouldn't that be good? He is sending you. I said a while ago, every person in this room who's saved is a missionary. Some are foreign missionaries, like our folks from China and other places. But we're all missionaries. The door of redemption swings on the hinges of missions. I've entitled this message, "Laborers Together with God." Did you get that? We are laborers together, and we are laboring with God. I submit to you in the first place that the field is large. Jesus said, by the way, He's the greatest authority the world has ever known. When you quote Jesus Christ, you never have to worry about being misquoted. He said in Matthew 13:38, "The field is the world." You can't get much bigger than that. 25,000 miles in circumference. 6.5 billion people and increasing every moment. And by the way, there are 12,000 people groups in our world, and 6,000 of them have never been reached with the gospel. That means, ladies and gentlemen, there are over 3 billion people who have never been reached with the gospel. Every time you draw a breath, 4 people go into eternity who have never heard the name Jesus Christ. There are over 200 countries. There are almost 7,000 languages. Here's the sad part. There are almost 3,000 languages in which not one single word of God has ever been translated. 7,000 languages and 3,000 languages. Not one single word of the Bible. Indeed, the field is large. I would have you to observe with me in the second place that the need is great. John chapter 4 and verse 35. I bring to the forefront again the greatest authority the world has ever known. Jesus said in John 4:35, "Say ye not, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." In the eyes of the religious moguls of that day, the crowds were only nothing more than chaff that the wind would drive away. But in the eyes of our Lord Jesus Christ, the crowds were people who were made in the image of God, and who must be saved if they are ever going to heaven. Mark 6:34 says He saw much people, and watch this, and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus Christ needs men. Did you hear me? Jesus Christ needs men. Men of determination, of dedication, of declaration. He needs men of character and compassion and conviction. He needs men who are willing to hazard their lives for the cause of Christ. A number of years ago, a man by the name of Ernest Shackelford, who was an explorer to the South Pole, put an ad in a London newspaper that read like this: "Men wanted for hazardous journey. Small wages, bitter cold, long months of darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful." Could we not parallel that, my friend? Is that not a challenge to men and women? Men and women who are willing to hazard their lives for Christ. Do you realize there have been 69 million martyrs since the day of Christ? 69 million martyrs. And most of them, watch this now, more people were martyred for Christ in the 20th century than in the first 19 centuries combined. You know, when we think of martyrs, we think about the 2nd century, the 5th century, the 15th century. Could I bring you up to date? On January the 20th in the year 1999, you remember that year, it hasn't been that long, 150 young people gathered for a youth retreat in Indonesia. As they were enjoying their time there, as young people do, an angry mob of Muslims attacked them. One of the Muslims said to a 15-year-old boy, "Are you a Christian?" "I'm a soldier of the cross," he replied. Down came the sword and almost severed his hand. "Now," he said, "are you a Christian?" "I'm a soldier of the cross." Am I a soldier of the cross? A follower of the Lamb? Or shall I fear to own His cause or blush to speak His name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Sure, Lord, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, and supported by Thy word. God needs men. "I am a soldier of the cross," that little boy said. You know what happened next? The angry Muslim stuck the sword through the boy's midsection and he bled to death on the scene, saying, "I am a soldier of the cross." The harvest cannot be reaped without reapers. The harvest cannot reap itself. And the harvest cannot wait. The field is large. The need is great. I must remind you that concern is not enough. He was wise who said, "Concern without action is to no avail." Money is not enough. Please don't misunderstand my next statement. Prayer is not enough. You see, the time comes when you must leave your closet of prayer and get out in the field of labor, out there where men are perishing, where souls are dying, and where hell's population is being increased by the moment. When the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. Then said, and our tongues with singing. Then said the heathen, "The Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth with weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." The field is large. The need is great. The time is now. Whatever time it is in all 24 time zones of the world, it's later than you think. Paul wrote in Romans 13 at verse 11, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Awake, O church of God! Awake out of your lethargy, your laziness, your lukewarmness. Arm yourself. Go forth to battle. Because time is running out." Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 at verse 2, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Ladies and gentlemen, I must remind you that God's time is always present. The clock of life is wound but once, And no man has the power to tell just when the hand will stop at late or early hour. Now is the only time you own. So live, love, toil with will. Place not faith in tomorrow, for the clock may then be still. I've only just a minute, just 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but all eternity is in it. The partner in this business is the Almighty. 2 Corinthians 6:1. We then as workers together with Him. Paul says the same thing almost identically when he said we are laborers with God. He says now we are workers together with Him. That's the Almighty. And the Almighty is the God of creation. The Almighty is the God of revelation. The Almighty is the God of justification. I must tell you that the Almighty is the God of eternal retribution and everlasting condemnation. John said, and I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat upon it from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Question. Is your name written there? On that page bright and fair? Is your name written there? I could not leave you without telling you that the Almighty is the God of salvation. Wherefore, He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of goats and calves and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself to God without spot, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. My sinner friend, if you're here today, listen to me. Are you listening? You owe a sin debt that you cannot pay. But I've got good news for you. Jesus paid your sin debt at Calvary. And I want you to know He didn't put a down payment on it and expect you to pay it out in installments. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it
white as snow. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying lamb, my precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come, for all things are now ready. Come without delay. Come to the cross. Come to Calvary. Come to Christ. He will forgive your sin debt and wash you whiter than snow. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Ladies and gentlemen, don't miss this. Life is uncertain. Death is sure. Sin is the curse. Christ is the cure. May we stand quietly, please. Our heads are bowed. The invitation has already begun. The altar's open. And I hope that you'll bear with me just another moment or two. We shall not tarry long. But with every head reverently bowed before God this morning, could I ask you today, with Judgment Day honesty in your answer, do you know that if you died today, you would go to heaven?